4-6. I'll get my wireless mic on. We're going to continue going through having a
spirit-filled life. Now, I hope that you are listening to this, making notes, taking this home, because I know everyone here wants to have a spirit-filled life. And sometimes we get in the motions of just coming to church and kind of going through the service and let's hurry up, let's get this over, and you don't really try to apply the things you learn. But I hope that as we hand out these sheets and as we study and with the PowerPoint, that you're sitting here and you're going, hey, how can this make me a better Christian? How can this help me to grow? Because that's what this is about, folks. That's what it's about, is coming to church, learning about the Word, and applying it to your life, and becoming a better Christian and growing in the Lord, okay? Let's stand, if you don't mind, in honor of God's Word, if you're able. If you're not able, we understand. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor my power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, God. I thank you for everyone here, Father. Thank you for the good crowd we had this morning. I thank you for the gathering we had after church today. I thank you for the jail ministry. We was able to go minister to Candace. And thank you for the good missions team meeting today. I pray, God, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that today may be the day that they accept you. I pray, God, that you bind the hands of demonic forces. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ on our church. Help me to say nothing in the flesh, but everything in the Spirit. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, just for the next 20-25 minutes, if you'll pray about listening very intently, because it's not because of me, but it's the Lord that's trying to make a change in your life. Amen. We talked about this morning, just to review, we said that the Holy Spirit leads and guides. If you have the Holy Spirit of God, if you're saved, He will lead and guide you into all truth and all righteousness. The Holy Spirit will never lead you into sin. Will never tell you this is okay when it's not. Amen. Then we said this morning that the Holy Spirit assures. Many people walking around going, am I saved? Am I not saved? But the Holy Spirit of God assures you of your salvation. He witnesses to you. He bears witness with you and with your spirit that you are a child of God. Then we said this morning that the Holy Spirit comforts. And sometimes, even when man can't comfort us, the Holy Spirit, Sister Charlotte, is the only one that can comfort us during our time of need. So tonight we're going to pick up with what the Holy Spirit does as well. And the Holy Spirit intercedes. I mean, there's times when we don't even know what we need. We don't know. I mean, we're around and we're confused and we really don't know what to ask God for because we don't know what direction we're headed. And that's when the Holy Spirit intercedes and helps us to know those things. Amen. We find in Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. See, he knows your hearts and he knows God's heart, right? Because he's God. The Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity. So he knows what God wants, he knows what your heart, and he puts those two together, amen? That's what he does. Listen, many times I'll call on people to pray. And listen, I understand where you're coming from. I'm not beating you up. But many people on the way out, they're just so humble, and they say, Brother Jeff, I just really feel bad. I just re-boxed that prayer tonight. You know, I just stumbled all over the place. Listen, don't worry about it. I don't call on people to pray to see what a great orator you are. Right? I call on humble people to pray because I know that you're humble before God, and God hears those types of prayers. Don't worry about what it sounds like to us. Who cares, right?
Yes.
We're praying to God, and He's the one that counts. Amen.
Yes.
Not me and not anybody at this church.
Yes.
Listen, the Holy Spirit gives patience and hope. We find in Romans 15:13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." It says also in Romans 5:2, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." Listen, patience is the ability to endure a trial. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for you. When you're going through a rough time, and all of us have been through it, the pastor on down, when you're going through a rough time, the Holy Spirit of God gives you patience, the ability to endure that trial, to endure that testing.
Yes.
And then that word hope means to see by faith the good hand of God through the trial. So when you're going through the trial, you can see the hand of God working. You can see how He works. and how he moves.
Yeah.
And that's a special point and place to be.
Yeah.
Listen, you've got supernatural strength and supernatural perspective through the Holy Spirit. I always remember that. Now listen, also, the Holy Spirit renews strength. You've heard of running and you get your second wind, Brother Terry? You're running along, you get your second wind. You hear about that all the time. Listen, that's who the Holy Spirit is spiritually for you. The Holy Spirit is your second wind when you feel like you can't go on, when physically you're exhausted, emotionally you're exhausted, spiritually you're exhausted. The Holy Spirit comes in and gives you that second wind. Amen. Ephesians 3:16 says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Psalm 73:26 says, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." I mean, there's a time in your life when your heart fails you, and your flesh fails you. Your heart's crushed. You can't go on. You're broken. It may be a friend that's hurt you. It may be the lost loved one. It might be somebody that's passed away. It might be somebody that's really stabbed you in the back and hurt you in a difficult way. And your flesh and your heart will let you down. But God will not. The Holy Spirit will not. Now let's talk about His serving ministry for a few moments tonight. His serving ministry. See, the Holy Spirit, once you're saved, He compels you. He draws you into service. He does that. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." See, God doesn't save us, send us out, and then sit back and watch. That's not God's character. Listen, if God calls you somewhere, one, He's going to go with you. Two, He's going to prepare you. He's going to equip you to go. Amen? Listen, the Holy Spirit calls us to serve. He calls us to serve. Listen, God saved you to do more than just exist. You're not just called to exist. You're not saved and say, "Boy, I feel better. Boy, I feel great. Everything's wonderful. So I'm just going to sit on the pew and do nothing." Right? God does not call us to do that. He calls us to do something, to serve. Acts 13:1 says, "Now there were at the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with the Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.'" Ephesians 4:4 says, "There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling." Listen, here's the question. People are dying all around you. Are you going to answer the call? Are you going to answer the call? Because listen, don't tell me you've been saved and God doesn't want you doing nothing. That's not the case, amen. It just simply isn't the case. Listen, folks, there are just people, there's certain people in the church, and that's just the way it is, that they don't work. They won't. There's people that will and people that won't, okay? They won't do something. But listen, it's not the people that work that are missing out. It's the people that aren't working that are missing out. Those are the ones that have a problem, amen?
Yes.
Now listen, the Holy Spirit empowers us. It empowers us. Spiritual work requires spiritual resources. And this is not just for pastors and teachers. Many people say, "Well, I'm called, the pastor's called, so God's going to be with him, and He's going to help him, He's going to enrich him, He's going to give him the resources he needs." Well, they're a teacher of a Sunday class. Yes, God does empower us and enrich us and give us the resources, but He also gives the layman those resources.
Yes.
And I want to tell you something, I'm not stepping out of limb, this is true. If you're born again here today, everyone in this building has been called to some kind of ministry, some kind of serving for the Holy Spirit of God. You've been called. Amen?
Yes,
Acts 1:4 says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, 'Ye have heard of me.'" Wait on the Lord. He enables you. Now listen, let me say this. There's many people that go out and minister on their own, and the Lord's not in it. And God would rather you not minister than to try to do something on your own without Him being in it. Okay?
Yes.
So make sure it's what God wants you to do, not what you want to do. That's the important part, all right? John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." I mean, apart from His power, our service is ineffective and powerless. Powerless. Listen, it doesn't matter how much Brother Jeff studies, how much he looks for, what he does. It doesn't matter what we do in this life. If God's not in it, God's not going to bless it.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what ministry at this church that we want to do. If we leave God out of it, God's not going to bless it. We've got to make sure we keep Him in all we do. Amen? Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world." Listen, it's the power of the Holy Ghost that makes you a good witness.
Yes.
The power that makes you a good witness. Thanks, brother. I really appreciate that. How many deacons it take to get a glass of water? Two. Okay. I'm just saying. Okay, I need to comment on that, brother. Hey, I appreciate it. All I know is I saw Harold go back, get the water, and come back in and get Lenny, and they're both out there, and I'm going to laugh. Okay. Oh, my goodness. All right. But listen, it's the power of the Holy Ghost that makes you a good witness. I mean, do you never witness for the Lord? Listen, if you don't, there's a good chance that the power source is messed up. I mean, listen, if I preach and I never come through this mic, there's a good chance something's wrong with my batteries, right? I'm not plugged into the source. If you're not hearing me out these speakers, then I'm not plugged into the source. And listen, if you're not witnessing for the Lord, there's a good chance you're not plugged into the source. Because the Bible says He will give you power to be a witness. Amen. Power to be a witness. Listen, it was common people that were affected by the Holy Spirit. Acts 4:31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." I mean, you think about it. These were fishermen and tax collectors. I mean, these were people. I mean, tax collectors were hated during that day. And God chose a tax collector, right? God chose fishermen. God chose just average people to follow Him and be His disciples.
Yes.
Listen, you don't have to be anything when it comes in regards to this world. Nothing.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Yes.
All you have to do is be willing to be a vessel for Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And He
Amen.
Will use you. Amen.
Yes.
Acts 11:24 says, "For He was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." Listen, God's just looking for good men and women that He can use. That's all He's looking for. He's looking for good men and women that He can use. But I see in Acts 17:6 it says, "And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, saying, These have turned the world upside down, or come hither also." When's the last time we've heard somebody say, "That church has turned the community upside down"? That individual has turned the community upside down. That preacher has turned the community upside down. Listen, I firmly believe this, Brother Terry. The reason we don't hear that much around here or anywhere in this area is because we like the world the way it is.
Amen.
Yep. We don't want to overturn the world. We like the way things are.
Yes.
Listen, folks, we need to want it the way God wants it. Amen.
Yes.
That's the way we should want the world. Amen. That's what we should want. Listen, there's three ways to attempt the work of the Lord. There's three ways in serving Him. Okay, now I want you to get these. Three ways. First, you can trust your own strength and wisdom only to fail. You understand that? If we at Valley View say, "Okay, hey, we're smart, and we know what we're doing, and we don't pray, and we just move forward, and we start doing stuff, and we just leave God out of it," we're going to fail. Because it's our wisdom and our strength. Then the second thing is we borrow the resources of the world and manufacture artificial results. Artificial results. See, we start using the world's, what they use, the music, and the Bibles, and the morals, and bring all the world in the church so we can pack the pews and everybody feels comfortable and everybody's happy. But you have an artificial Christianity.
Right.
And that's the second way you can get things done. Or the third way, you can depend on the power of God and see eternal results. Just like the revival we've been talking about in North Carolina's going on. I mean, they're not doing anything flashy. They're preaching. They're singing. They've got a tent out there. That's all they've got. And guess what? The Lord's moving and He's saving souls and He's changing lives. And it's been going on and on and on. And listen, folks, I firmly believe this. I firmly believe that that has happened because their governor and their people took a stand.
Yes.
The NBA has come back and said, "We're not even having the All-Star game in North Carolina because you won't allow perverts in the restroom."
Yes.
Right? And you know, they said, "We don't care." Now, I want you to think about something. I'd really like to see the numbers on this. They said people are coming from everywhere, Bert Tom, Christians, and guess what they're doing? They're staying in their motels, and they're eating their food, right? Right? So I just wonder if that NBA All-Star game is really going to have that big an economic effect when they realize how many Christians are pouring in there for this revival, amen?
Yes.
Now, I firmly believe, I do, I told Belinda this, I believe if our governor had stood firm,
yes,
that we might have seen something like that in Georgia take place.
Amen.
If he'd have stood firm and said, I don't care if you make your movies here, pull them out, right? Hey, I don't care, pull all your stuff out, all you money, we don't care. Hey, we're going to serve the Lord, we're going to do what's right.
Yes.
God would have sent us the money.
Yes.
And we might have people pouring into Georgia right now, spending their money because there's such a big revival going on in Georgia.
Yes. Amen.
Listen, I'm telling you, God will. He will reward you if you stand firm to Him. I'm telling you, He will.
Yes.
I think of a quote from A.W. Tozer. It says, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. Did you get that? If the Holy Spirit pulled out of the church today, they would continue on doing 95% of what they're doing, even with the Holy Spirit not being present, without Him being present, and it would continue on as normal, and nobody would skip a beat. That tells me that Holy Spirit isn't in many of our services. Amen?
Amen.
Now lastly, Brother Daniel, you can get a song ready, is the Holy Spirit enables us. I mean, if you say you don't feel adequate for the ministry, you're either prideful or you're delusional to the point you just don't believe the Word of God. Because the Bible says if He calls us, He gives us the adequacy to go forward. Right? So don't say, well, I'm not adequate. I'm not worthy to serve the Lord. Yes, you are. If you're bought with the blood of Jesus, you're worthy to serve the Lord. And you need to be serving Him. You need to be working for Him. Amen? 1 Corinthians 2:3 says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. This is Paul speaking. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Many people would not have liked to hear Paul speak and preach.
That's right.
They wouldn't have.
No.
You know, many preachers today, and listen, folks, there's some good preachers out there that exhort and preach. But listen, I want to tell you something. Many of this stuff that goes on in the pulpits today is because they have not studied. And they've got to emotionally entertain the crowd. And listen, I'm not knocking. If you know some people, preachers that preach like this, there's some of them that are good. I'm not stereotyping everybody. But what I'm saying is this. They get out there and go, and then they'll say a few things and then, right? And about 15 minutes of their sermon is, and they've studied about 5 minutes. And they get you riled up. And listen, folks, I could get up there every Sunday and I could run around and scream top of my lungs and say, Jesus is good, amen. Y'all go, right? I'm saved, amen, right? And get y'all all fired up, running up and down the aisles and toss books and everything for 30 minutes. And then you leave going, man, wasn't that a great sermon? And I may not have picked up my Bible all week. Listen, folks, it's easy to entertain people. But that's not what the Holy Spirit wants us to do.
Amen.
But He doesn't want us to do that. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Listen, you're going to face ridicule if you stand for the Lord. Do you know what most people fear today? I mean, even the Bible scholars and all the people that say they know everything about the Word of God, they fear ridicule more than they fear anything.
Amen.
You know, that's why many preachers, Brother Lenny, started throwing doctor out in front of their name, even when they wasn't a doctor, is because they didn't want to have ridicule. Well, that's just a country bumpkin preacher. He don't know nothing.
Right.
Who cares what the world thinks?
Right.
We're not here. We're here to win souls to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
It doesn't matter how dumb they think I am. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Amen? It doesn't matter what my speech is. My wife tells me all the time, she corrects my grammar all the way home. You said this and you said that. I don't care. I'm not up here to be an orator. I'm up here to tell you about Jesus Christ and to expound the Word of God for you. Amen. And my degree's not in English. But listen, lastly, the Holy Spirit gives boldness. Acts 4:31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." Now, notice this. They didn't speak in tongues. That wasn't the first evidence of the Holy Ghost coming upon them. What happened? "And they spake the Word of God with boldness." Now, let me say this, and we'll end tonight. Timidity, or being timid, is not a fruit of the Spirit. And it's not a gift of the Spirit. Listen, if you're born again, you're not called to be timid. You're not called to be timid. And the Holy Spirit, I don't care who you are, the Holy Spirit will help you get over that and give you boldness to stand up for Jesus Christ. With every head bowed, every eye closed, everyone standing, if you're able.